Hello and welcome to this Bordier broadcast. This is the first in a series of podcasts which we hope to release over the coming weeks. My name is Jamie Berry. I'm Executive Chairman of Bordier in the UK. And today I'm going to be talking to Robin Perry about the outlook for markets and how we see things developing generally. Robin is a member of our investment team in London and he sits on our investment committee. He's got more than 25 years experience managing high net worth portfolios. Prior to joining Bordier, he worked for Deutsche Bank and also Schroders. Robin may actually be familiar to some of you if you attended one of our general election lunches just before Christmas. My goodness, those seem a very long time ago now. Robin, my first question, and I think it's a question that is probably puzzling everybody at the moment, is why have markets recovered so quickly and so dramatically when we're being told that we face the worst recession in 300 years and the economic downgrades sort of come over the hill sort of thick and fast and markets seemingly ignore this? Can you help us on this?
Yes, thank you, Jamie. Yeah, no, absolutely, I agree. I think that's a key question. I think it's true. A lot of people were surprised at the extent and the speed of the market recovery. And I have to say, I think we're included in that as well. And I think probably the best way to answer that is what do we think the extent of this market recovery, what does it imply to us? And I have to say, if you look at how quick and how strong it's been, to me, it really implies two things. One, it implies that a recovery in the economy is going to be relatively quick and relatively full. And probably secondly, when you look at all the stimulus and the support packages around, and obviously they are immense in their size from central banks and governments, that these are going to do a pretty good job in keeping economies afloat. Not just that, they're also going to keep markets calm. They are going to support companies and individuals substantially in the interim period until things recover. And I suppose if we take those two things, if you take that first point, some people might argue this has been a sort of unique recession caused by the lockdowns. You've had a total collapse in supply and you've had a total collapse in demand. We don't normally have that. We're in uncharted territory. And the argument might be when we switch back out of lockdowns, you get a recovery both in supply and demand. So the recovery could be unusually quick. But I think we agree to just to the extent that looking at current data like PMIs, PMIs are currently at 12, 13 in Europe and the UK. We didn't know you could really get to that level. I mean, normally people get pretty worried with 40, 45, but we're currently, the data I just think isn't very helpful. But I think more importantly, we look even at what the Chancellor's saying in the UK, if you look at Jerome Powell in the US, they're very much talking down the chance of the speed and the extent of recovery. And I think talk of V-shaped recovery is long gone for most people. And it does seem to us, we think it's going to take quite a long time potentially for a full recovery in consumer confidence and freeing up supply chains, etc. And of course, all this assumes no pickup back in the virus and no future lockdowns. The market's got very excited about vaccines, etc. But we've all become amateur virologists, and I think we all know that even if there is a virus found, it's going to take some time to get through to us. Take the second part of that. We agree the stimulus packages are huge. The UK, for example, couldn't do much more, but these packages can only do so much in terms of protecting the economy and jobs, etc. So, from our perspective, yes, I think our evaluation is we think markets have got a bit ahead of themselves. We know they look ahead, but we think they've got a bit ahead of themselves. They're probably pricing in a best case scenario. And that's why if you look at our positioning, we still have some cash and we're slightly cautious in the short term.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. What do you think will be some sort of longer term effects of COVID-19 in the way that people see markets?
Yeah, I think there's likely to be quite a few. And, I think some are perhaps obvious, some are a little bit less obvious and perhaps a bit more blue sky. But one thing I think we know is looking at government debt burdens. the estimates, and they're only estimates, and of course we don't know how much all this is going to cost, but if you look at government debt, the estimates are anywhere between 15 and 30% increases in developed markets. You know, if we look at the UK, we're going to, our debt to GDP is likely to rise to 100% or possibly more. Now, we look at this, you know, we could argue, you know, this has been, you know, governments have been running with high levels of debt for many years, provided interest rates are remain very depressed. You know, as long as you issue debt in your own currency, like, you know, in the UK, for example, you could argue you have all the tools you need to keep rates low. It may be manageable. But I think there are other countries, I'm talking maybe Italy, maybe Brazil, South Africa, and possibly even Japan and the US, where, you know, it's something we're going to have to keep a very close eye on. Some more broad things. I mean, you know, we've seen the government in the UK and elsewhere standing behind a large part of the corporate sector, not just the banks like it did in the financial crisis. So, you know, we're seeing, you know, broader things like the state, the influence of the state increase. You know, we don't know yet if this, this is a temporary thing or a permanent thing. If it's a permanent thing, this is a major change perhaps in culture, in the corporate world. And of course, if the state does get better, we've got to pay for it. You could go even more blue sky. You know, some people are saying, you know, we've seen in the last 2 years or a move away perhaps from globalization. You know, what this crisis has done is forced people with global supply chains to look at more local alternatives. You'd have to say, when you look at the actions of governments across the world related to the virus, there hasn't been much coordination. And we are seeing some countries perhaps teetering on the border of sort of more nationalist and protectionist actions on the back of the virus. And then, of course, you know, the more obvious things, you know, we're all experts on, you know, Zoom, and, you know, our working practices have changed in the last month or two. And perhaps these things will become more permanent. You could then say, well, where does this leave? You know, we're all talking about infrastructure projects, you know, in various governments being supports to growth. Where does this leave this? So I think there are many issues that, you know, longer term issues from the virus that we're going to unravel in the next few months and years.
That's great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Just changing a little bit to something else, and sort of dividends. Of course, obviously, a lot of people rely quite significantly on dividend income from portfolios. We've seen cuts and cancellations initially from oil companies and banks, and now seemingly much more broadly spread, not just in the UK, but elsewhere in the world, people using this as an opportunity to reinforce balance sheets and to join a growing crowd of either reducing or eliminating dividends. What are your thoughts on this, and when might we expect to see some sort of decent recovery and a return to so-called new normal?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big issue, and nowhere more so than perhaps in our whole UK market. I think it's really important to understand what's behind the cuts. And I think you have to look down to various companies. For example, you know, the banking sector, for example, the regulators just told them to stop paying dividends, and it hasn't extended to insurance companies, but the government has written to the insurance companies saying, remember your obligations, remember your systemic importance. So we've got some people have been just frankly just told to do it. Then you've got, you know, a large swathe of companies that have been the government are supporting furloughing employees that are really understanding there's an implicit obligation with this, that you don't then take that cash and pay it out to dividends. Then perhaps you've got another raft of companies that are just frankly being prudent with their balance sheets in the face of what's going on at the moment. They're just insulating themselves from the lockdown and potentially, you know, being very prudent, very sensible. And then probably you've got a final category of companies that perhaps were overpaying previously and that's now been exposed. They don't have the necessary dividend cover, or the companies that frankly are going to struggle to survive. So some of the, you know, you have to differentiate very much here, and this is the point. Some of these companies may be able to turn their dividends back on relatively quickly, albeit it's very likely that will be at a lower levels than what we've seen before. Some of these, you know, is going to be very much a long-term issue, or it's never going to happen. They're not going to survive. But I think the best way to answer that, we've met every single equity income manager. They're the experts. They're the people who analyze the companies and look at the dividend side of things most closely. And just give you a couple of numbers. You know, we lost 4 billion of dividends in the UK just in March alone. The estimates, and it's broad estimates, UK dividend output might halve this year. And best best estimate seems to think it may well be 3 to 4 years before dividends fully recover. By fully recover, I mean back to 2019 levels. And of course, there's lots of issues that would have to fall into place for that to happen. I think possibly the good news for our portfolio is this: the situation seems to be much less acute outside of the UK and parts of Europe. When we speak to our US or Asian income managers, we're not seeing anything like the same amount of pressure. And of course, you have different sector biases. In the US, you have much more tech, you have much more healthcare. These are areas of the economy. These are sectors, these are companies that are not under the same sort of financial stress. So I think the UK is going to take a long, potentially quite a long time till we're back to levels of last year. I think it will be up to our active managers to tiptoe through that journey. But I think elsewhere, hopefully we'll see a rather quicker and fuller recovery.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, I think that it's fair to say then that investors, because of the overseas commitment in portfolios, in both fixed income and in the equity element, that overseas element where the dividends are not being hit to anything like the same extent, the investors can gain some sort of comfort from that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm just going to change tack now to something completely different. It reminded me a little bit of one of those tiny cartoons you see on the front page of the newspaper, the little very small ones. And it's a couple on a sofa and the COVID-19 is on the TV and there are newspapers all over the floor with COVID-19 headlines. And one says to the other, "I really miss Brexit." Now, Brexit has come back into the vocabulary in the last few days. Is this something that's going to loom large again in UK investors' minds in the next few months?
I think it has to. I mean, you know, you say it's pre the virus seems a long time ago, but, you know, it was on everyone's minds then. And we were very aware, you know, that we only really had 11 months to do an awful lot of signing of agreements, and that, you know, that would have been unprecedented in its speed to get things done by the end of the year. And of course, you do wonder how much of that's been able to happen in the last 2 or 3 months. So absolutely, this will come back. We've seen before Brexit uncertainty does play out very strongly in the currency. So, you know, we do think we have, I think, to manage the volatility, but I think it very much will come back center stage later in the year. As indeed, you know, there's a US election coming up. There are all the things we were thinking about before the virus, they haven't gone away. So I think these things are very much going to come back into thinking.
That's great. Thank you, Robin. That's been a useful summary of Bordier thinking and how we're positioned at the moment. That concludes this Bordier broadcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and we very much look forward to welcome you to our next podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to episode 1 of the Bordier broadcast, which was recorded on the Thursday, the 21st of May, 2020. We would ask you to spend a moment of your time to listen to the following regulatory wording. This podcast is issued and approved by Bordier NC UK PLC, which is a company incorporated in England. Registered address, 22 King Street, St James's, London, SW1Y6QY. Bordier NC UK PLC is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. This podcast is not intended as an offer to acquire or dispose of any security or interest in any security. Whilst every effort has been made to ensure that the information contained in this podcast is correct, the directors of Bordier NC UK PLC can take no responsibility for any action taken or not taken as a result of the matters discussed.